God will not rest if his work is not done.
Okay. And since he's still working, we know he hasn't entered the kingdom.
That's right.
But in the millennial kingdom, but it's still not finished.
Yeah, but it is an advanced stage of the rest.
Like the seventh day?
Yes, like the seventh day, God finished his work and he rested. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, tells us that too, right? And so he who enters into God's rest sees from his own right? So the Lord Jesus did say that, hey, my Father is working until this day and I work. Right? So even today, you know, for example, the building up and the preparation of the bride and preparing for the coming kingdom, which is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring down the millennial kingdom, is not done yet. Otherwise the Lord would have come. Right? But he did not come yet because the work is not finished yet. And he's still waiting until all the enemy becomes his footstool. So the work of redemption is done, but his ministry, serving in the heavenly ministry in his capacity as the great high priest, is not accomplished. So we still need to be saved to the uttermost. And then when the Lord comes back, only the overcoming ones and the first fruits could enter in. The rest, still not done yet. There's still a lot of his population, his people, who are not perfected yet. So there's still a time of perfection in the millennial kingdom.
During the millennial
kingdom. Yes, during the millennial kingdom. Oh, I'm sorry.
I would do like this.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Otherwise, thank you, John. Right. That's why there is a... This rest that we have is in stages. Today, through grace and through his life, for the building up of the church. Even if it is not completed yet. Only the overcoming ones, the first fruits, and the bride in Revelation chapters 19. A part of the bride has made herself ready, representing the whole. So, we enter into, those who are ready enter into the higher stage of the rest, the wedding feast.
Because I've heard some people say the rest is referring to your enjoyment of Christ today, and you know, you put your worries on him.
That is a part. That is why the Lord says in Matthew, "Come to me, ye who are heavy laden, laboring, and I will give you rest."
Right.
And because in the law they are heavy, really heavy. Even keeping the Sabbath rest was such a hassle for them. It is terrible, right? It's so much trouble to keep the Sabbath. Okay. But today we did enter into Christ, but we have not learned to rest in him. That's why a lot of Christians are still doing their own work and not to let the Lord finish his work within us. Right? And to rest does not mean that we do nothing, but we begin to experience what he has accomplished. So the millennial kingdom is a rest for us. Just like today we have salvation, right? But to enter into the millennial kingdom is also salvation. That's why Hebrews said he'll come in the second time for salvation. But you say, why, Lord? We already saved. Why in your second coming it is salvation? That salvation refers to entering into the kingdom, millennial kingdom, to be partakers. Those who did not enter They still have to go through a lot of judgment from the Lord, disciplinary action. So no salvation for them. Right. Then at the very end, new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem, that is the ultimate,
the final rest.
Final Sabbath rest. And there is really no more trouble. Okay. No more trouble. That's why at the end of the millennial kingdom there is still war. That's with Gog and Magog. Because there's still a lot of trouble there. That's why God still kept Satan there to gather all the troublemakers at the very end. To let him finish his dirty work. Yeah. So there is a final cleanup. A final cleanup. And then also as a final judgment in the great white throne. So everything is clean up after that. Yeah.
So then eternity is future, then is really the highest.
The ultimate. The consummation of the Sabbath rest. Then in Revelation it says it is done.
And why does how does it connect to how the Lord calls himself the Sabbath? You know, when the Pharisees accused him of breaking the Sabbath, he said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath."
Yes, because everything was created through him and unto him. Right? Even Hebrews tells us that he created and finished everything. And he upheld everything. So, in a way, he is the one who instituted the Sabbath. Right? In the beginning was the Word. All things were created by him. Finished. Right? And that is called the old creation. Right? The 6 days of creation. So the Sabbath that they are keeping is not really the real Sabbath yet. So when the Lord comes, none of them are resting.
So there are somehow three rests.
For us, yes.
Today the rest by Christ.
Right, in Christ.
And then in the
right.
Kingdom, and then in the eternal life. So
that's right. That's right. That's why we need to learn to experience and enjoy Christ as in all of his accomplishment. No wonder we are preparing Christ as a burnt offering, as a meal offering, and you don't need to make a special burnt offering, but Christ is already that wonderful burnt offering, living a life that is fully for the Father. So we need to apply that and experience that and enjoy what he is, right? So that we can be like him, right? So and that is entering into the rest. I don't have to live the new man. He already finished the new man, but now I have to put it on. Peace. He is our peace. But hey, look, there's no peace today. No peace. Right? A lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Oh my goodness. You know, in the last 50 years, I've gone through a lot of trouble. Really? And I hope that this will be the last time. Once more. Yeah. I thought you were the one who said once more. But, you know, before the Lord comes back, there will be more trouble.
38 years.
Yeah, and of course the last terrible trouble is the 3.5 years of great tribulation. 圣经把它称为大灾难，最后的3年半，这是人的历史中从来没有过。 圣经把它称为大灾难，大灾难，the great tribulation. So and that was a real, real shaking. It's going to shake up everything, yes. So
the rest in Hebrews chapter 4, it refers to which
Christ,
to
the New Testament verse. Yes, because the Jews, they did not enter into the real rest. Even Abraham in chapter 11, you know, he did not enter into the real good land. That is why, although he already entered into the Canaan, he still lived there as a foreigner, as if he is living in a foreign country, because that was not the real promise. And that's why no wonder it says he's looking for a heavenly country, looking for a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And then in the New Testament now, the new covenant with the Lord Jesus came, he says, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens draws nigh. And so the period that we are living in today is a preparation of the coming millennial kingdom. Right? So the coming of the kingdom of the heavens has two sections. The first section is by grace today, the building of the church through the life and through the spirit. So you still don't see the real heavenly rule today. Then when the Lord comes, then we will rule with him over the nations. And that is the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. Today it is hidden. This millennial kingdom is the manifestation. That's why we are entering into the first stage of the kingdom. Then we enter into the second stage. Right? And then the new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem. Huh? You better remember that chart.
But we're supposed to already see the kingdom expressed in the church today.
Yes, but so unfortunately, not everybody wants to enter into that rest.
That's the intention.
Right, but we are rebellious. So they came out, but they didn't go in. Right. We are saved, but we don't want to be perfected. We are still rebellious.
Right.
Right. Yeah. This is really a problem. You know, this is really a problem. Yeah.
So even though the kingdom is hidden today, it shouldn't be hidden.
Yes. Because the kingdom today is an inward hidden within us. But still, we don't let the Lord make his home in our heart. We don't want to live by the Spirit. We don't want to be strengthened in the inner man, so Christ cannot rule within us. They came out of Egypt, but they are so rebellious in the wilderness. On the way into Canaan, so they all died in the wilderness. That is why in Hebrews chapter 4 it defined the Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's the first Sabbath mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. Today our work depends upon your appropriating, applying, experiencing the finished work of God in Christ Jesus. What shall we do? In the Gospel of John, the people were asking, what shall we do to do the works of God? They want to do I'll see if there's so much they can do, you know. they really cannot do anything. Then the Lord Jesus answered, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Then the Lord says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him, the one whom He has sent." Because God is not going to do anything apart from Christ. That's why Hebrews chapter 4. But it is a good question, because we need to get into it. The Christians today have no rest, and they have a hope to go to heaven. But it's absolutely nonsense. Their rest is to rest in peace. But they thought they're going to be rest, but then they ended up in Hades, where they have no rest.
Moses and also the commandments and the doctrines there are some commandments somehow strange also for the people there. Does these ones also have a spiritual meaning, all of the other commandments?
Well, the main commandment, the law we're talking about, is the two tablets, the Ten Commandments. But along with the commandments, the Lord has given His people a lot of ordinances, how they should live, how they should be sanctified, separated from the Gentiles, what God wants them to do and what they should not do, because we are the people of God. And as people of God, we need to have a guideline. Just like if you want to be a good Canadian citizen, you better know the law. Right? How to drive, for example. It's not only thou shalt not kill, but you better drive carefully. So with the law, there is a lot of ordinances to tell you how to drive, how fast you can go. And don't drive too fast, don't drink. Right? Because don't fall asleep. You better stop and rest if you are tired. Right? All of these things is to keep the people safe. So you can see, if you read Leviticus all the way to Deuteronomy, you can see that God has given them so many ordinances. Right? What they can eat, what they should eat, what is clean, what is not clean, in their human relationship. You know, they tell him, hey, right, you cannot lie with a man, you cannot lie with a woman, with woman, man with man, no, that's not possible. Right? And, you know, all the proper human relationship was written there. Don't think that's useless. No. Because if we don't take care of that, then we will ruin and corrupt the humanity. Can you imagine today, gay marriage? So now they have to change all the books for the children. You can have a father, and you have a father, mother, and you have a mother who is the father, and a mother who is the mother, and you're crazy. You're just be so much confusion in the society of mankind. And then, you know, how many times they divorce, and then the children. At the end,
You don't know who is who anymore. Right? And so you can see this is why God, because He is such a holy, righteous, and glorious God, He gave us not only the law, which is the basic foundation, right? But then He gave us a lot of ordinances, which is very necessary. Right. Even to give the land a rest. Every 7 years they have to stop planting, give the land a rest. Yeah. Right. And then God tells them, in one field you cannot plant two different seeds. Otherwise in the harvest time it will be very difficult for you to harvest. And we are God's farm. That means apart from planting Christ, the kingdom seed, you cannot plant anything else. Don't mix God's farm with so many different crazy seeds that you're planting. So you can see there's so many. Right? And then there's a rule concerning leprosy. And the priest should be very clear how to deal with leprosy. And how to check whether there's leprosy. And when there is, then what to do with it. You want to be a priest, you better know how to do that. Just like if you're a doctor, right? You want to be a doctor, you better study all the sicknesses. Otherwise, you have a wrong diagnosis, you might kill the patient. I knew of a brother before, he was in Florida. And he was coughing very badly. And the doctor there in Florida told him that he has pneumonia. And so he came and visited me because he had a conference to go to, business conference. I saw him coughing like that. I said, you better go see a doctor. Yeah, he says, the doctor says this is pneumonia. I said, it doesn't look like pneumonia to me. A week after he went home, he passed away. He had TB, tuberculosis. And that's why, his wife called me. Because he stayed with us for 2 days to go and have a checkup of that. I said, that's what I told him. That is not pneumonia. Pneumonia is not like that. So if you treat a person, you better know what you're doing as a doctor, right? It's TB, you said it's pneumonia. And you treat the patient as a patient with pneumonia. He died. A week after he left San Francisco and went back to Fort Lauderdale, he passed away. So don't think it's very easy to be a responsible brother in the church. But let's put it this way, to be a priest. There's a lot of things to learn, not just doctrine, giving a message on Sunday. Right? You need to know what's happening. You really need to know. And if you are not, you know, we Christians are oftentimes so nice, we try to help. Right? Suppose I have Ebola. Well, you know Ebola, right? And you are so kind, you want to help me.
It'll kill you. What happened? You know, in a rebellion like this, you try to help, you will be infected with the same sickness. Ebola. Spiritual Ebola. Spiritual Ebola. That's why if you touch death according to the ordinance in Leviticus, immediately you have to be in quarantine. Because anyone who touches you will be defiled by death as well. And you need a special process of cleansing for 7 days. If you know, this kind of a rebellion is very highly contagious. Highly contagious. So let those who can deal with it deal with it, not you. Even the nurses who try to help with Ebola and the doctors, they all got it. They got it. So don't try to be so nice, you know. Yes, we like to help one another, but in such a special cases which you do not know, then don't touch it. Refer them to Dr. Chua.
Okay. George, can you come to Fang?
Go and bring your antibiotics.
Oh, double that.
But both were more experienced one. Yeah. She got the knowledge. But he got the practice. He got the experience.
So you can't cure this.
But this Ebola is not easy.
Then the question practically becomes, for the saints in North America, I mean, do we inoculate them, or how do we deal with this? Because
no, if the problem is not here, you just help the saints to know the truth, and in a practical way. Because the law is written there to help us. You may not have to mention anything in particular. Right. That's where the ministry is very important. You don't just interpret the Bible, but you share the experience with it. What I'm talking about, for example, chapter 13, concerning the elders, like you said. It says, be submissive to the elders. Even if you're wrong, the elder is wrong, I have to be submissive. No, the Bible did not say that. Right. So we need to know the word in a living way and with the whole experiences in view. Because without the experience, you cannot fully understand the application of God's word. It's definitely written, hey, young people, be submissive to your elders. But that's only in normal situation. You must be submissive to your dad, okay? But if your dad tells you to go and worship idol, children, obey your parents. Are you going to do it? No.
Why not?
Because it's not a normal case anymore.
Yeah, but you love your dad, right? Yeah, you have a higher father. If this father tells you to do something that offended the father, you better not obey that. Yeah. Because the Heavenly Father overrides all the earthly fathers. The great high priest, the one sitting on the throne, he overrides anything and everything in the church line. That's why you obey only if that is in tune with the one sitting on the throne. But, you know, this is common sense. Okay, but religious people are not using common sense, they're superstitious, irrational. Because of lack of experience in the relationship to the living God, so you're irrational. You know, sometimes people in the world are more rational than the believers. More rational. Because they're not superstitious. They don't talk about faith. No, they do. They have their own definition of faith. They just believe it. I believe everything. Oh, he's a pastor. He must know. I believe him. Very vulnerable. No pastor would teach you not to trust in him, right? Trust me. Paul says we are those who have no confidence in the flesh. He says I don't even trust myself. If he doesn't even trust himself, how can you trust him? And if he's in the flesh, then much less do you need to trust him. You can only follow a person if he's truly following the Lord.
Amen.
But even then you have to discern, because
of course
he may stop following words.
Yes. Yesterday he may be following, today he may not be. What are you going to do? That's why you should basically be a person who follows the Lamb.
You can't be blind and following.
No. The Bible never taught us to be blind. In fact, the Bible warned us not to follow blindly. The blind leading the blind, and both fall into the pit, the Lord said. Cannot do that. You know, and it's something very serious. Simple, but very serious. Because you see that again and again and again in the last 19 millennia. Yeah. This is what I said, if somebody wants to leave, I'll tell him, please go. And I really wish you the best. What can I say? Please don't go. The Lord never did that. If the Lord never did that, then why should I do that? Even that situation there in Toronto. You want to do it? You will not listen to the saints? Then do it. Right? When you do it, you have a consequence. So may the Lord really help us
learn the truth in a living way, not in a doctrinal way. The Word of God is living, so you cannot learn doctrine, a dead doctrine. It's a living Word, but you learn dead doctrines. And if it is living, it is growing. Just like the same plan, it's still the same plan, but hey, now you just see one stick, tomorrow you see two leaves, and then a week later you see four leaves, right? 1 month later, wow, you have quite a few things, because it's alive. And then 2 months later, a beautiful flower comes up. Quite different than 4 weeks ago, or 8 weeks ago. But if this table is dead, after 10 years, it's going to be like this. Even 100 years, it's going to be like this. Look. The only thing it can be is antique. That's all. Antique. But it will not change.
That sound is falling.
Jintian zeyang, ming nian ye shi zeyang. 10 years zuo han shi zeyang. Yeah. 你的儿子 再过2年, 哇, 又变了。 Right? 今天这样, 明年, 哇, 高多了, 是不是? 那个是活的, it's living. It's living. The church must always be changing from glory to glory like that. This is normal. Anything that does not change is dead. I've seen that table I don't know how many years now in your house. Sharon, that table how many years now? Oh, who is Sharon? Oh, John, how many years? 6 years. It was exactly the same as it was 6 years ago. Maybe a few scratches, but may you be in there. For a table not to change, it looks good. But for Jasmine not to change, it's bad news.
Staying young is also good.
That's, yeah, huh? Wish that for your children.
Yeah.
You see, you wish that for other person's children, but for your own children is a no. No, but this is not the way the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to reach full perfection, maturity. And this is why the book of Hebrews is very precious, because it wants to help us to go on to full maturity. Like running a race, you cannot halfway you stop. You're nothing. Right? Yeah. Just like me, good for nothing. Good for nothing. Right. You stop, you're good for nothing. You have to go on until you reach maturity. And what we are doing today is so glorious. If you miss it, I tell you, if you did not graduate, you only cry maybe for 1 week or a couple of days. And you can still, you know, do it again for one semester, for one term. But if you miss the kingdom, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's no joke. It's serious. It's very serious. Because the reward is so great when you missed it. The price is also very great. The punishment is also great. You should take it seriously. We all do. We all do. Just remember, we are dealing with the living God. Father God. Your turn.
I have one more question.
Oh, okay.
Since when you were talking about the ordinances, one thing I was always wondering, it always mentions, there's several places where it mentions do not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. It says that in several places, but I never really...
Yeah, at least one or two, yeah. One place at least that I know of, yeah. Okay.
Right. What is...
Oh, that's very, very important. You know, what is the mother goat's milk for? To nourish the baby goat, right? To nourish the baby goat. Not to boil him to death. Okay. Now the Word of God is living, it's milk for us. Never use the Word of God to kill the believers. The letter kills. You're using the Word of God instead of nourishing. You use it to kill the believers.
Especially the young ones.
Especially the young ones. So instead of feeding, you boil them to death.
Right. We have seen that.
Don't do that. You know, it's milk to give life, to give nourishment, to give food for young babies. Right, as newborn babes being boiled in milk. Didn't say that. Desiring the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Then why would you boil the baby goat? Because you want to eat them, right? At the end, you're feeding yourself. For your own gain or whatever. Sordid gain, you know. Don't do that. No. Right. And that's why we need to deal faithfully with the Word of God. We need to fear the Lord. You want glory? Go to the world and then try it there. Don't try it in God's house. You want to make money? Make it in the world, not to making the house of God into a merchandise, a supermarket, money changing. To be an elder, an overseer is... really, to be an example, to nourish, to shepherd, you use it for your own gain. It's ugly, it's terrible, and the Lord is going to deal with you and punish you severely.
Why did Peter mention the milk in 1 Peter chapter 2 And why did Paul then mention the solid food? Because we talked so much about the solid food, but why was the milk mentioned?
Because all the newborn babes need milk. But in 2 Peter, that is solid food. Right. 1 Peter, Peter was helping them to grow and showing them like a newborn baby to desire a pure milk. That's why in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, you know, what Peter was sharing is very basic. That he bore our sins upon himself on a tree. We are redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Right, you are born again with a living and abiding Word of God. And, right, he's talking about something very basic to help them to grow. And he warns them of other things. Right. Yeah. But 2 Peter is not, no. That's right. Paul also mentioned milk. I gave you milk to drink. Not solid food because you can't bear it yet. Right? First Corinthians 3, you're still babes. Right. And then he also mentioned, don't be children anymore. The church in Ephesus in chapter 4. But let us go on to be to arrive at a full-grown man. This concept is throughout the whole Bible. But Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is not milk. Talking about Christ, the ascended one, as Melchizedek, King of righteousness, King of Salem, as the Word of righteousness. And he talked about discernment, right? Really discernment.
Right. So the question. So in Hebrews 10 it talks about not forsaking the assembling ourselves as another some, but exhorting one another so much more as the day is approaching. But then there's a line between exhorting someone and then when you come to the point that they leave, they just go their own way, you let them go. And then to an even greater degree is then when they're starting to boil them with the milk. Right? Are these different stages? Like,
no, you don't boil anyone with the milk.
But, I mean, if you, I mean, that would be like...
If you overemphasize those verses, then
yes.
That's what he's saying.
Sure, right. But, you know, I don't think anyone who really knows the Lord and have... serve with reverence and godly fear. Well, boil the saints the milk. I don't think I'm not concerned about that. Unless you're in religion, yeah, then you do that. You know. But the forsaking the assembling together in the whole context there is referring to these Hebrews who were under so much pressure, they're going to leave the church. So the church is the assembly. Right? Ecclesia, right? Not forsaking the assembling together. For that assembling together, it is the church life.
And so the admonition of Paul is not forsaking the assembling together. It doesn't mean that, oh, you should not miss a meeting. Not that. It is not in that context, but leaving the church, going back to Judaism. That was forsaken. Because they were under tremendous pressure. That is why Paul in chapter 12 is telling them that pressure is being used by God to chasten us, to perfect us, to bring us to maturity, that we may be a partaker of His holiness. I think this is really Paul's or the Lord's wisdom. They're using the writer of the book of Hebrews to encourage them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, you see, you're not faithful, the Lord is punishing you, you know. You do that, then you, maybe you add fire. but it's the Father's love for you. So many times we have to learn and to using the word to help the saints in various ways. On the one hand, there's warning, but you cannot just keep on warning the saints. You should also have the word of encouragement. But warning is sometimes necessary. You cannot just avoid warning and only speak about positive things. So the book of Hebrews is very balanced. You have almost everything in it. It's all rounded up. You have exhortation, you have warning, serious speaking. So, yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You had a long day today, all of you. I think you all need some rest. Right? 9 o'clock.
No, it wasn't that hectic.
I slept until 6:30. So I'm good.
You're good.